Good evening and welcome to worship. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for all that you have done and continue to do in our own lives. Lord, make this time a time of peace, a time of praise, and a time of prayer. As we hear your word, as we grow in faith, as we hear the words you have for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Be at peace in silence as you listen for the Holy One. From Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 through 30. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, but that by my speaking with all boldness, Christ will be exalted now as always in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress in joy and faith, so that I might share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is the evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege, not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw that I had, and now hear that I still have. Allow God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading of the text. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, but that by my speaking with all boldness, Christ will be exalted now as always in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress in joy and faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. During this silence, you are invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer, intention, or other understanding between you and God. Take the candle from your seat, light it from one of the small candles in front, and then place it in the sand as an act of prayer. You may also come to the prayer bench to receive prayer for yourself or another. For those of you wishing to give a tithe or offering, you're welcome to do so as you come forward to light a candle or exit the worship center. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, but that by my speaking with all boldness, Christ will be exalted now as always in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy and faith, that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you're standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is the evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Since you are having the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. From Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 through 30. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, but that by my speaking with all boldness, Christ will be exalted now, as always in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destructions, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Our scripture from this evening finds Paul writing to the church at Philippi while he is in prison in Rome. He's still working to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus, but for now he's doing it from jail. And so while really none of his ministry has been easy for Paul, it's especially challenging right now, which is something we have to keep in mind as we hear and consider these words from Paul about death and life. He writes to the Philippians that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Of course, it would be easy to see why Paul is reflecting on his eventual death while being in prison. He doesn't know if he's going to be released or killed, and even if he just stays in prison, there isn't much of a life there. But for Paul, these words aren't about giving up or not wanting to live. Instead, it's about his focus. Paul can live in the here and now because he knows that he has the hope of Christ, even in death. He believes that death is gain and that death isn't the final word for him because he trusts in Christ's power over death. He chooses now to live in Christ because he has the hope of the future with Christ. That's why he goes on to write about how he's choosing life now, even though to die in Christ would be better than spending all of his time in prison. But instead, he's going to use the life that he has to spread the good news of Jesus. He's going to do so as he encourages in the letter to live his life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And he's going to do it all because he has the promise and hope of resurrection and eternal life in Jesus. Now, what does this mean for our own lives today? Well, first, we too can have that same hope for the future. We have the promise of hope for the future because of Jesus. We too have the hope and the promise that death is not the final word. We too have the promise that we can live with Christ because to die is gain. We too have the promise that we don't have to wait until after death to live with Christ now. For our eternal life starts now. The promise of abundant life with Jesus starts now. This promise is what sustains us through the trials and struggles of life. There's clearly no promise here in the scripture that as people of faith we're going to be free from trials and struggles and hard times. Instead, it's the hope that we're given so that we can continue to have life through Christ. This scripture isn't about finding an easy way out. It's about living in a way that sees hope and light, even in the darkest moments of our lives. It's about seeing the possibilities of faith, even in times of hardship. It's about trusting deep in our souls that to live is to live with Christ. So how then do we live with Christ? What does that look like in our lives? Well, Paul covers that towards the end of the scripture when he writes, "Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the gospel of the faith of the gospel." We're called to live our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. This means, as Paul goes on to say, that we stand firm in faith and that we live and work together in community to share the gospel with others. Basically, this means that we allow for our whole lives to reflect the change that the good news of Jesus brings to us. The gospel of Jesus changes our lives. Our acceptance of salvation, of forgiveness, and of grace changes the way we live in the here and now. This change doesn't just take place while we're at church or while we're doing something that people would consider religious. It impacts every moment of our lives. And when our lives are changed by Christ, when we are letting that impact us all the time, we're living our lives in the manner worthy of the gospel. And you know what else happens when we do that? Well, it becomes a lot easier to share the gospel with others. We become more in tune with what Jesus is doing in our lives. Instead of about talking about the work of Christ in our own lives being a struggle, it becomes a natural part of what we do. To live as Christ is to be able to talk about what Christ is doing. Now, this isn't easy. It takes practice and patience as we live our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. But it is possible. It reminds me of a story that Henry Nouwen once told. Nouwen was a Catholic priest who spent years teaching at universities and then eventually working and living with those who have developmental delays. He tells this story about a time that he was reminded of what it looks like to live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel. He writes, "Often we're not as pressed for time as we feel we're pressed for time. I remember several years ago becoming so pressed by the demands of teaching at Yale that I took a prayer sabbatical to a Trappist monastery in New York. No teaching, lecturing, or counseling, just solitude and prayer. The second day there, a group of students from the local college walked in and asked, 'Henry, can you give us a retreat?' Of course, at the monastery, this was not my decision, but I said to the abbot, 'I came here from the university to get away from this type of thing. These students have asked for 5 meditations, an enormous amount of work and preparation. I don't want to do it.' The abbot said, 'You're going to do it.' 'What do you mean? Why should I spend my sabbatical time preparing all these things?' 'Prepare?' he replied. 'You've been a Christian for 40 years and a priest for 20. And a few high school students have wanted to have a retreat. Why do you have to prepare? What these boys and girls want is to be a part of your life in Christ for a few days. If you pray half an hour in the morning, sing in our choir for an hour, and do your spiritual readings, you will have so much more to say, you could give 10 retreats. The question, you see, is not to prepare, but to live in a state of ongoing preparedness, so that when someone who is drowning in the world comes into your world, you're ready to reach out and help. It may be at 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, or 9 o'clock, but let them be a part of your life in God. To live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ is to be ready to share the good news of Christ. To trust that to live is Christ, is to be aware of what Christ is doing in your life at all times, to be able to share that good news with others. That's what Jesus did when he came and lived among us, taught us what it was like to live life with God, to be able to turn normal and everyday moments into the ways that God was working in the world. And he did that on the night he knew he was going to be arrested and tried and crucified, when he took bread and he gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to God and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Eternal God, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory, we feast at his heavenly banquet. Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.